side of the microphone for the green lights of the speed trap. Rick Reno and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
You may be wondering why it's getting a little heady in here, why your speakers are emanating a little bit of a slow groove. This was a request from my co-host, wingman, and man at the con, Joe D.
Dedicated to our Snap-on guys everywhere.
Dedicated to the Snap-on dealers everywhere.
Actually, any tool truck guy, but mostly the Snap-on guys.
You have tuned in The Pusher on Motormouth Radio with your host, Ray Guarino, and said co-host, Joe D, who did call for this last week, so...
Yeah, that's right. Well, I did mention it. Yeah, that's true, because, you know, we all have that tool habit. Some of us worse than others.
You ask and ye shall receive.
Thank you very much. I mean, that's good. I wonder if they're ever going to come up with a tool rehab.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, it's... there's no way of doing that, because it's either that or you work on the cars with your teeth.
Well, with some guys, it's called retirement.
Yeah.
You know, others, it's called old age. Others, it's called, I just can't do that anymore.
Yeah, you know, retirement just means that now you just do it when the hell you want to.
Yeah.
And it's your own car or your friend's car or something like that, or the wife's car.
Right.
I was talking to someone. It's like, yeah, I did a brake job. Took me 2 days. Did one wheel a day.
Oh, jeez. Now, I still have to get the job done. I'm not retired either, but I'm not that... I haven't slowed down.
Lately. No. Yeah, well, some of us take more... I can't wait for those days myself, because it's more like I need like 28 hours in a day, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, the way you work, yeah. Well, and I tell you, we're going to cram 28 hours into this day, because on today's installment, the last one of 2017 Motormouth Radio,
we're going out with a big one.
Yeah, Mr. Marty Shore, one of our bigger and more well-known guests. Of course, Marty is an ad man. He's been a magazine publisher and owner for many, many years. He's he owns PMR. Media group down in Sarasota, Florida, he handles right now. But also, he was Joel Rosen's counterpart at Motion Performance.
Right. Yes. Talk about one of those places in the island that are legend.
They say, you know, Joel put the sizzle. Joel had the sizzle and Marty...
No, he had the steak and Marty was the sizzler.
Thank you. Yeah, Joel had the steak, provided the steak, and Marty made it sizzle.
Sizzler.
Being the ad man, right. Right, there you go. Food.
Oh, God.
All those great motion posters, the wanted poster, all that stuff, that was all Marty's doing. You know, he kind of created all that stuff.
Yeah, he definitely put the sizzle on that steak, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And before that phone line thing lights up and sizzles, why don't we grab that?
Let's see. Let's go to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Professor Ray.
Hey, Howie.
How you doing?
It's the big man.
You snuck in under the wire. What's happening, Howie?
What's happening? A lot of things are going on. A lot of things. You know, I mean, I can't wait for the new year. There's a lot of things that I'm going to get on, you know, back on the road, my Eldorado. Just wanted to wish you guys a happy new year. It's a 2018, wow, you know, when I'm back in 1999.
You know? Well, you only have about 12 hours to wait to get that Eldorado back on the road, because that's, we're counting down.
It's going to happen in the first month of January, man.
Okay.
So you got that subscription to the coffee of the month club, huh?
Yeah.
With extra caffeine?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Okay, good, good, good.
What do you have to do to get the car back on the road, Harry? What does it entail?
Well, it entails doing some electrical work to the fan and the radiator to get it back on the road, check the brakes out, and then it's dealing with some cosmetics.
Yeah, well, I don't know what kind of cosmetics you like to use, if it's Maybelline or Revlon, but I know that you are now the electric fan maven.
Yes, that's true. You know how to wind them things up. True.
That's true. We're gonna do it. I got a backup fan. If this fan over here doesn't work that well, we're gonna do that. And you know, I got some. Gonna put a new Landout top on. Getting some new side molding.
Cutting edge.
To, Sal.
You know, Howie, you've always been our backup fan.
Oh. Thank you.
Good thank one.
You. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes,
thank
well,
you very much.
Yeah. Jim Costello thinks you should post pictures of all this stuff.
For New Year's. You know, for New Year's.
Well, I'm staying home. It's amateur night out there. I'm staying home watching the ball drop. I have no intention of freezing any part of my body below, like what those poor folks out there are going to be doing. So
yeah. I understand. I understand, Joey D. What about Professor Ray? Is he venturing out?
I am. I'm going to go spend some time with good friends. Good friends you would know from the Autoseum. My good friend Mike and his wife had invited us over to his house, so we're going to go over there and spend some time with them tonight.
That's great. That's terrific. I've been persuaded by my cousin Joseph to go to the Sands, and we're going to spend New Year's in Lido Beach with our friends from a music band called Mystic, Mike and John.
Okay.
Band.
Very
sounds
good.
Good.
Yeah, so it's, I don't know if I'm going to dress up, but I don't know. I might. But no, it's going to
yeah,
be
yeah, no
good.
Baby New Year's costume for you, okay? Because I don't think...
Please.
Leave the
come
diaper
on.
Home.
Don't go down that road, Joseph.
Oh, no. Believe it. No.
I'm going to take... We're taking the wife's, expedition, also known as the Big Tank.
Right.
Hey, be brave. You know, ride the bicycle.
No, man. I'm not. Let me put it this way. The other day, I started up all the cars before the snowstorm, all the babies.
Uh-huh.
And I took out the convertible out of the garage, tested the top a little bit, didn't take it down all the way. And
story
I went down the
life.
Street and I tested out the anti-lock brakes from 1992.
That system works pretty good, actually. I know that from my own car.
A little chunky.
Yeah, it was pretty good. You know, it's not the the 4 or 8 channel that we have in like the Audi or the Expedition, but it was pretty good.
Okay, well, actually, we don't want to you want to try to keep in situations where you don't want to test them in real life, because usually that doesn't always work out so good as far as getting slid into and whatever or sliding into.
Right, that's true. But, in an emergency, if you got to stomp on the brakes and you're in a slippery area, it does help.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Yeah. No, I'd rather have something with the ABS than not. That and good tires. Let's not forget about the tires.
Okay, but I did. I wanted to tell you, I got a great deal on tires.
Did you know?
I got 14-inch white wall tires. They're now blue right now. They haven't been. I got to turn them into white.
Ah.
They're called Travel Star.
Okay.
Then not made in the America, but they are pretty good tires. I think it was about a 480 tread wear.
Okay.
I got them for $50 each.
No. Not bad. And you paid for the round option, I hope, right?
The round. What option, sir?
The round option.
The round
ones.
Option,
I figured
right,
for that
square.
Price, I figured they might have been a little.
And they are new.
Wide oval.
Yeah. Good, good. Well done. Well, you're a smart buyer there, Howie.
I try to be with, everything that I got to do, because I got a reputation for getting things used. Mm. Every so often, you need to get new.
That's right.
All in all, I'm watching Counting Cars on the History Channel. The girls are out of the house, so I got a little time
you?
To, to relax before I go out.
Boy,
right.
The house himself, he watches Counting Cars and calls us.
Yeah.
I do, man. I thought about you guys. I forgot to wish you a happy, happy. And may it be better in 2018.
Yeah, we're shooting for that. Yep.
That's all.
All right, Howie. And well, thank you very much.
Well.
Listen, stay tuned and listen to Marty Shore. He's going to call in about
the
quarter after.
Yeah, this ought to be a good interview,
And we'll... And then we'll try and do it all again next year and bring to the listeners what they want to hear, or they think they want to hear, or we
think
we want to
keep them laughing, or at least not groaning so much, you know.
Right.
And go with, you know, some fun and good common sense, you know.
Oh God.
Automotive.
Yeah, you got some.
You want us to reprogram the whole show?
Yeah.
All right, Howie.
Hey, be well.
Thanks, Howie.
Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year. Bye bye.
Always good to hear from the big man.
Always a good. That's right.
I talk to people that listen to the show, maybe three or four of them out there, and you know, he is actually a fan favorite.
Yeah, Howie always is. He kind of has that kind of, you know, appeal to people.
Right. They, you know, somebody thought he was like a computer animated construct there.
Well,
he's like, because that guy can't possibly be real. He's real. He's my friend. I know him.
Actually, Mike Sims wanted to go lawn bowling with him, and not with him, but with him. So. Anyway.
Yeah, but, you know, he's got a good point, though, as far as, you know, hopefully 2018 will be better than...
Yeah.
Well, you always want it to be better. You always want to go in the forward direction.
You know, and in some ways, I say, hey, the year wasn't that bad. I made it through it. You know,
yeah.
Not too many setbacks, so that's a good year for me, you know.
Yeah, I got through with most of my body parts.
Exactly. So let me mention, before we get involved with Marty, because it's going to take us on a whirlwind, that you can listen to The Secrets of Success here on WHPC every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Host Bill Horan helps you uncover hidden talents to maximize individual success, which is something we could use in the new year.
Oh, yeah, I could use some of that success stuff there, yeah. You know, let's face it, it's always good to get some advice, especially someone like Bill Horan, who's a noted purveyor of such things.
Take it from wherever I can get it.
Yeah, because just don't ask me.
Exactly.
You'll be outside freezing with a wrench in your hand or a scan tool, you know.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to do that now. That's this is the time of year where it's, you know.
We're flashing again.
Oh, my God. Oh, are we? Well, that's tenuous. That's actually, you know.
Shall we play phone thing bingo?
We're gonna start taking our break, and then we'll see. Maybe we'll come back with Mr. Marty Shore. Anyway, keep it where you got it. There'll be more of Motor Mouth Radio in a few minutes.
I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs the Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Attention all Long Island residents. This is an important message. Please stand by.
You looking to learn more about Long Island?
Do you need to be informed about the current issues Long Island is having?
Do you want to learn more about what Long Island has to offer?
Yeah, you do.
Listen to My Hometown, where our student and community volunteer hosts explore clubs, organizations, businesses, and issues affecting Long Islanders like you and me. Listen for weekly interviews that shed light on the Long Island towns that are making a difference.
Covering Long Island head to toe, every inch, every mile.
Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 4 or Sunday evenings at 10 on the voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC.
Hey, that's my job.
You snooze, you lose.
All right, like they said, if you snooze, you lose. And if you're snoozing now, you're going to lose out on a great interview because we have on Motormouth Radio Mr. Marty Shore on the line. Marty, good to have you with us.
Hi, Marty.
Hey, how you doing?
All excellent.
Right. Good to have you on.
Yes, frozen New York says hello.
Well, hello from Florida.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good. You put some of that warmth up here with us, which is great. So anyway, we're here to talk about your latest book. All of your books are fantastic.
Well, thank you.
But they are, because you have a great writing style and you're always full of information. You have information other people don't have, and it always impresses me. But day one, tell us, how did this book come about? What was the impetus for the whole project?
Well, you know, back in around 1983, 84, I wrote a column for Muscle Cars magazine called Day One.
And the premise of the column was to talk about things the way they were, not the way they are. So the way they were means that, you know, muscle cars were just ordinary cars. You or I went into a dealership and bought, and it was no big deal, and nobody knew what was rare, and nobody knew what was worth money, and nobody cared. And suddenly all that changed. So when I was talking to my publisher about a book ideas, he said, that's a great hook. Why don't we do a book on the way it was?
Yeah.
So I said, that's easy for an old guy like me. You know?
And you did it without Barbara Streisand, too.
You know? We should have her on the show.
Yeah. Another New York girl.
But anyway, that's how it pretty much started. And fortunately, I still have my memory, and I had pretty good archived files from my days at Cars Magazine and stuff. So I took a look at what I can do and realized that I had an awful lot of stuff, and also that I had pictures of cars that probably the majority of people had never seen or ever known about.
Right.
And, you know, one after the other, I realized this was pretty cool. You know, most people relate to the 1969 ZL1 Camaro as a drag racing car, because that's all it was good for. And the factory had difficulty selling them. The idea was much better than the reality.
Yeah.
And the cars proved hard to sell. But at Chevrolet, they were talking about doing a street version of that car. Mm-hmm. And just with basic tuning, you could take the ZL1 motor and hook it up to, you know, a regular street car, and it would work. And so they built one or two of them. Never really sure. The one I drove was a black car, and it was a dynamite car. The problem is, nobody would spend the money.
Yeah, yeah.
To buy one of them.
Oh, yeah.
So they never built any. The factory just shut them down. But the car was a very cool car. It had a big spoiler on the front. And it may have had some gold trim. It was a black Camaro, and you know, it didn't look like anything totally special.
Right. Oh, a black 69 Camaro. Oh, the
car
was never
bad.
Saw one of those.
Oh, I bet. Well, that's the thing. When I read the book cover to cover, and I do, because I like to read, especially your stuff. I do like to spend the time with the book, and I have 3 pages of notes as a result, which I'm sure we're not going to get to. But the trend that went on was you guys would take these cars, and you or other people you work for would take them, test them, stock, and then maybe step on them a little, bring them down to motion, or bring them to another shop. And Pacers is noted in the book a lot. Good friends of ours, you know. And the car would be warmed over a little, and then retested. And you know, it's just good to see the things we hold as iconic. You know how they went through their paces when they were new. And I couldn't remember, before we go any further, let me just jump back. The thing that really slapped me in the face when I got this book and started reading it, I said, hey, yeah, it's Marty's book. And I opened the cover, and I said, wow, the 2-page open by Joe Oldham, you know, good friend of the show.
Oh, yes.
Which led me to get in touch with you, and of course you told me about Joe's passing, which we...
Yeah, I see the jewel marks over here in the beginning of the book.
They're tears. They're not jewels, it's tears.
Okay, yeah, close, yeah.
Which led us to do a tribute show for Joe, because that was, you know, he really did impact us.
We
really,
right.
You know, and he does appear in your writing through the book, through different testing. So it's always nice to see that, Marty. It's right. Good to see, and I, of course, that was all pre.
True, okay. Royal Pony.
You know, Ray... it is incredibly hard for me to hear you.
Is it?
Yeah, not coming through. It's staticky, and it's very, very low.
Staticky?
And I'm missing a lot of the words.
How about me? Can you hear me okay?
Maybe Do you want me to have you call me back?
You know, we can do that. I just have to think. Now, let me think. Hold on. Let me check in my phone. Let me see if I have a number for you, because obviously we don't want to give it out over the air.
Right. You don't want to know any of the people we know.
I'm just not getting it, Ray. I'm sorry.
All right. Hang on, Marty. Let me just see if I can... look in my phone and see if I have a contact number for you.
Yeah, because so every once in a while people have mentioned that. Can you hear me okay, Marty? Am I coming through?
I can barely hear you.
Okay, so yeah, it's not just your mic, Ray. It's got to be
Marty. Is it the number
on the outbound side?
I can call you back, or you can call me back. Wait a minute.
I think the cavalry has just shown up here in the form of technical assistance over here.
We're going to see. Now, Rob is here pushing some buttons to see if we get a better... Marty can't hear us well.
Yeah.
I've totally lost you, Ray.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? Try calling back. We'll put you right back on.
Okay, I'll call you back.
Okay. Bye. All right. We're going to try Marty Shore again. He couldn't hear us, Rob. I don't know why.
Right.
We just had a call from Howie, and he seemed to hear us okay. So.
That's because he's in the next room.
Yeah.
He's a stalker here, so it's okay.
Howie was close by. So hopefully we'll reconnect with Marty, and we'll... Hey, it's the last show
that's
of the year.
With his nose pressed up against the window. That's it. He's got that. Here we go again. We're flashing.
Let's try. And we'll say hi again with the Motor Mouse. Marty, is that are you on the line with us?
No, this is Mikey from LT.
Okay, Mikey, we got to cut you short because we got Marty Shore calling us back. And if you can get back to us late, we could do that. Okay, that was very AM radio of you, Rob.
Wow.
Sorry, Mike. We just got...
Sorry, Mike. Mike should know that we're calling off. Back.
All right, we'll hopefully get Marty back in here in a minute. Otherwise...
It's either that or we'll just have to read the book.
I did read the book. Yeah.
That was that mayor back when there was a newspaper strike or something. The mayor from Mayor LaGuardia, he actually used to read the Sunday funnies to the kids over the radio back in like the 1940s or something like that, 1930s. Yeah.
Wow.
So we could read the Pontiac book there. You know, okay. I mean the Joe Oldham book there.
Let's go back on the phone and say hi. You're on the Motor Mouse, Marty. Do we have you back?
I'm back.
Can you hear us better?
You're still not too loud. I can hardly hear you.
We're still low to you. Okay. I don't know why. I just boosted the mic levels up a bit. Hopefully, we can't go too far. We overmodulate.
It's the same. It's just the same as before.
Okay. You know what? I'll try you
back.
We're
going to try calling you back. In the meantime, I'm going to sing a selection of tunes from...
All right. Sit tight. All right.
We're going to try a little reverse phone calling out now.
Right.
Here on Motor Mouth Radio, if you don't call us, we will call you.
Exactly. We'll be back. Keep it where you got it.
Oh, I love that. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just on Facebook. What are you liking? I don't even know. I'm just mindlessly hitting like because, well, I just don't know.
At least like something that's worth actually liking.
Like what?
Like the new 90.3 WHPC page on Facebook.
Oh, I like that.
Search for 90.3 WHPC on Facebook and join the conversation happening right now on The Voice of Nassau Community College. Yes. Like 90.3 WHPC on Facebook.
I do like that.
As I was saying, like 90.3 WHPC on Facebook. From The Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Look over there! I think... Is that a bird?
No, I think it's a plane.
Yeah, you're right. It's pulling a banner.
The Brighter Side.
Hi, I'm Sarah Alberson, host of The Brighter Side, a show showing a brighter side of the world. Weekly guests who are sharing their stories in hopes of moving and inspiring others to do good in our world. The brighter it is, the better.
I want to experience the brighter side.
Listen Wednesday afternoons at 4 and Sunday nights at 11:30 on The Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Bring on the positivity.
All right, we are positively bringing on the positivity with Mr. Marty Shore back
Cranky
with us.
He's up, yep.
Marty, are you
I'm
with
here.
Us?
Can
okay.
you hear us? Hello.
Okay. Do you hear?
Can you hear us now?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Oh, good. So we're resolved over here.
All right. Good. We're back
to a false start over there, but let's try this again.
Let's go again.
What the hey?
All right. So, Marty, we're talking about your book titled Day One, and the interesting thing is it really deals with a lot of cars that are termed Day Two cars, which it was kind of like a little bit of a curveball for me. Can you please explain to us and the audience what a Day Two car is?
Well, a Day Two car traditionally is a car that after the owner buys a car new or buys a stock car, the way the factory built it, he goes and changes the wheels and tires, he puts on headers, changes gear ratios, maybe changes carburation, maybe changes camshaft, and that becomes a modified car, becomes a day two car. Mm-hmm. And you know as well as I know that the great bulk of cars back in the muscle car days were day two cars because guys never kept them stock.
Right.
And the problem is that as we came into other generations where people placed high values on these cars, the value was placed on the car as being a stock car the way the factory built it. So you have tens of thousands of cars over the years being restored from day two car to day one.
Right.
And the purpose of this book was to show people what the cars were, what they looked like, what they were, what they ran like, as day one cars, the way the factory intended to build them and sell them. So,
yeah. Right off the showroom floor.
Actually, on page 27 of the book, I know you referred to the dealerships who modified the cars as dream merchants, which I thought was great. That's a great term. They're fantastic.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're familiar with the breed, and basically, you know, it was Baldwin Motion, it was Nikki, it was Yanko, mm-hmm. And people like Royal Pontiac and smaller dealerships.
Right.
Essentially, they were day two cars that were sold brand new.
Right, they were delivered that way, day two cars.
As day one cars, essentially. So right. I called it day two on day one.
Right, right. With a warranty, which is, in many cases, which was
right.
pretty cool.
And, you know, there's all kinds of rumors and myths and everything about these cars because so many of them are clones and not real cars. And as the cars became more valuable, more and more people created clones. Initially, most of them were just tribute cars that guys wanted to drive around and be cool with, but they end up, when they go through other owners, becoming real.
Uh-huh.
And then they end up in auctions as real cars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All too real. When cash transpires, that's when it's real.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of illegality around that, and there's a lot of people who play dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what's going on. They just bought the car and they're just selling the car.
Right.
But essentially, the numbers of cars that were built back in the day, there's more of those cars around today than they ever built.
That's what.
Oh,
they,
yeah.
That's like what they said about my own car that I drive. You know, 65 GTL. They say, yeah, more 65s have tri-power on them now than were built. You know?
That's like you look on eBay, like every friggin' second generation Camaro is a Z28.
Right.
I don't think so.
No. Exactly.
Having worked at the dealer, there just weren't that many on the lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because the period that I remember. Somewhere in the mid, I think it was the mid-1980s, people were going crazy for big block Corvettes suddenly.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly, they were looking at 67, 427, 435 cars.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, there were people in this country who were creating 427, 435 cars and shipping them to Europe and actually Japan.
Yeah, Japan was big on American muscle cars at that time, if I remember correctly.
And they were, you know, Japanese people were paying $100,000, $150,000 for a 427, 435 Corvette that at the time was probably a $25,000,
$35,000
car.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was stupid money. You know, like $100,000 these days for a collector car is within the realm of reality. But back then, $100,000, were you kidding?
That was a lot of money.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And then people were doing L88s because the parts were available from Chevrolet.
Mm-hmm.
So they were doing L88 Corvettes. I mean, I can't tell you how many I came across, and I know how many were built. They built 20 cars.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I must have seen 20 cars. They were all fake.
All parked next to each other.
Right. Yeah.
And Corvette shops were turning these cars out because the bottom line was there was nothing really illegal about taking a customer's car
and turning it into another one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a matter of, hey, the parts are available, we can buy them, sell them to you, and it's a business, it's commerce, it's, you know, it's the American way.
You know, it started out as a very legal thing, and then suddenly overnight it became a scam.
Right.
And I remember, you know, L88 parts weren't that expensive from Chevrolet. Today, no. Of course, they are.
Yeah.
But back then, no. And, you know, people were putting Hemis in cars that didn't have Hemis. And nobody really cared. But, you know, 20 years down the road, somebody finds a car in a barn and thinks they just found the Hemi.
Right, right. One of my favorite quotes of the book is on page 62. You had driven the Chrysler Turbine car, and you asked, I don't know who it was you asked, but you asked, is there any room to fit a under the hood for a 413 wedge? You know, and the other thing, Marty, that's great, because I think we have Mark Warman from Graveyard Cars out on the West Coast in Oregon. I think he may be listening today. And I know with the Chrysler theme, he loves all things Mopar. There was also page 69, you got mistaken for a taxi driver when you were driving a Ram Chargers 426 Max Wedge Candymatic Dodge. Turn to page 69, Joe.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that story, Marty? Because I was laughing when I read that.
The car was the Ram Chargers car.
Yeah. Now, how do you get one of those?
Well, the thing is that the Ram Chargers built a backup Candymatic car.
Mm-hmm.
In case their car was damaged. So their car was running pretty damn good and wasn't damaged, and Dodge Division would borrow the car. Now, essentially, it belonged to Dodge.
Right.
But it was used at car shows to show what the Ram Chargers Candymatic was, because Thornton and the guys couldn't give up the car for weekends for auto shows around the country. So they built this car, and they built it on a hardtop rather than a two-door sedan.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody really noticed.
Right.
And because the hardtop had a much nicer roof line and looked sexier, so it was good for auto shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a call one day and said, hey, do you want to spend a week driving one?
Let me think about that.
You know, it's funny now we joke about it, but at the time, I took it very serious and said, that wouldn't be bad. Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah.
You know, and so I went to pick up the car, and this was a total animal car.
Mm.
This car did not belong on the street.
Yeah.
It just ran like crap on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had to get some R's in it to make it run.
Sure.
And when I picked it up originally, it was, I think it was at Chrysler in Manhattan's West Side Service Center.
Uh-huh.
And I lived in Forest Hills at the time. And the thing was backfiring through the carburetors. I would get flame outs. you know, with that kind of compression ratio, it didn't like any kind of gas that I put in it. And it also had no sealers and no sound deadeners, no nothing. It was a stripper.
Yeah.
And it was made to run. And so every time you went over a pebble,
you thought you were climbing
a mountain.
Yeah.
You know, and we had a lot of fun on the street with it. Finally, we got it running right. And I was on, I think it was Cross Bay or Woodhaven, whatever it was, and some guy in a 409 wanted to run me, and, you know, I just... You know,
smoked them.
Yeah,
blew his doors off. He had his girlfriend with him, so I kind of felt bad for the guy. And
kind of,
he wanted to pull over after the last run, and he came over with an issue of Cars Magazine with the Ram Chargers ad, and he thought I was Jim Thornton.
Yeah.
So mainly because his name was lettered on the door.
Right, right.
That could be a mistake.
So I just said, I'm Jim, sure. And I signed the autograph.
Great. You know, there was another story in there where you drove a 65 Coronet with a street Hemi, the 426.
Oh, took
it to Pacers. That's where George Snizek and the guys came in on, right on Lawson Boulevard. And that was driven by David Pearson, that car, right?
Yeah, it was really a terrible car.
Yeah.
It was built as a drag racing car. And I don't know how it got into the hands of Cotton Owens, but Cotton Owens ended up with the car, and he did some NASCAR prep on it, and Pearson decided to run it in the Trans-Canada Rally.
Mm-hmm.
And the car ran, of course, did nothing. It broke. It was a dumb car. It was just stupid on the street. And I got a phone call asking me if I wanted to borrow it for a week. And it was a 65 Hemi. So, obviously, I took it, but the car was really terrible. It just was an awful car to drive, and the driver's seat was all bolstered with steel tubing covered in duct tape and black tape, and it had shoulder belts. I mean, it was a four-speed, and it shifted like crap, and it was a race car.
Hmm.
And I had Charlie Dodge and George Schneisig over at Pacers kind of tune it for me, uh-huh. And they got it to run pretty decent, at least, but not great.
Right.
And George and I decided to run it on Lawson Boulevard.
Of course. They used to take their own cars out on Lawson Boulevard. I witnessed that.
So, it ended up that George's pretty stock Corvette small block, 283, 270, was quicker than this car.
Wow.
No kidding.
And this car was, prepped by Cotton Owens. It had a street-tuned race Hemi in it. But it was one of those cars that were just awful and funny at the time. But looking back on it, that was a landmark kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, to get a car like that to run on the street, it just wasn't suitable, but it was okay. I may have ended up giving it back early because I think it was winter time and it was just a nuisance of a car.
Yeah.
But as far as a book is concerned or something to write about, all the people who never knew about these cars,
right?
It's kind of cool.
The other thing that kind of warms up us in winter. One of my good friends, I showed the book to. He's a Mopar fan, and on page 84, he wants to know who's the model with the 426. Hemi.
Yeah.
And I said,
what's she doing, setting the time?
Well, like, I don't know, but it'd be nice to know that myself. I don't know. I'll have to ask Marty. Wow.
Yeah,
General LaBrigida, jeez.
Well,
that was, I think, in all the years that I was a journalist, and all the years that I was an automotive PR guy in Detroit, I had never seen a bikini model.
Mm-hmm.
With an engine at a press preview.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw at auto shows, you saw models with cars, but when the press went to drive cars at the proving grounds, it was never a model.
Right.
The only people who were there were engineers and journalists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And lo and behold, we go into the presentation for Dodge. And there's this engine with this model in a bathing suit.
Yeah, what a set of jugs that engine had, too.
I was about to say, those pistons.
Looking back on it, she probably has more plastic than a Corvette.
I wonder, though.
I don't think they even invented that back then.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, they did. It was.
I'll tell you, Marty, you got Rob Leonard to come in from the other studio just to see this picture in the book. He came. He was stepping fetching in here. Oh, yeah.
Well, the funny thing, which I didn't mention here at all, it went over so big that the next morning when we set up, wake-up calls at the hotel,
yeah,
because we had to get up like at 6 in the morning to have some breakfast and out on the proving grounds, I got my wake-up call, and I just managed to get out of bed, and there's a knock at my door.
Mm-hmm.
And I figure, who the hell is 6 o'clock in the morning? I open the door part ways, and there's somebody dressed up like her. It wasn't her. It was a guy.
Oh!
It was a guy in drag.
Oh, jeez.
And they took my picture.
They took that drag racing stuff seriously, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
They took my picture and sent it to me later on.
Oh, that's great. That didn't make the book.
I had pajama bottoms on and nothing on top, and I was groggy, and I had hair, and it was really funny.
That is cool. Well, you know, the one thing that I get as a theme through all of it, like I said, I've read everything that you've put out, and you know, and the theme is that you guys really, although you had a great work ethic and you did a lot of serious stuff, you guys had a lot of fun. You knew how to have fun at work, which was great.
You know, well, job you know, like part this, of hey. The thing was that having fun was always part of the way I looked at my job.
Mm-hmm.
Because, to be honest with you, nobody in my field, other than, we'll say, the editor of Car and Driver, or the editor of Motor Trend, or maybe the editor of Hot Rod, made a decent living.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't make a lot of money then.
Yeah.
We had a lot of perks and a lot of benefits and a lot of fun.
Sure.
And since our magazine, because of circulation, wasn't recipient of tons of advertising money from Detroit, I felt that we could be honest about the stuff.
And with a guy like Joe Oldham writing the text, I love the fact that that whole New York attitude of like, hey, the West Coast guys were, I think Joe said, they never tested a car they didn't like or something to that effect, which kind of meant that they always wrote a good review. And Joe's like, hey, if it's a piece of crap, I want to call it a piece of crap. And
well, of course, you know, Joe took my advice to the extreme, because he did with everything.
Right.
And, of course, his crowning touch was when he just blew the rear of a Javelin, I think, lost an axle.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's
on the street.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And because I ran the picture, he was banned from
future AMC event. Actually, there is a quote in the book. It says, where there's smoke, there's Oldham. Under the pictures, Mr. Attitude lights up a 429 Mustang. That's page 187. So, yeah, Joe was... and the axle issue shows on page 190 in the book, which is also well documented. The other thing was cool, you know, on 167, you're talking about the second-gen Trans Ams. Joe and I are big second-gen Camaro fans. And the ad... This is great copy. It said, gauges that gauge, spoilers that spoil, and scoops that scoop. I mean, that is so cool.
Oh, you mean the picture of the two Hemis?
No, that was a 70 Trans Am. Joe, page 167. That's
where I'm at,
In my book, on page 167, there's a couple of Barracudas.
There's two Cudas, yeah.
Okay, so do you see anything that says gauges that gauges? I might have transposed the numbers wrong.
Shake the hoods, concentrate.
I got the wrong page.
Yeah, it's right here in the first column.
It's in the text.
Yeah, okay. Trans Am menacing, powerful look that said, don't mess with me. One of the best Trans Am advertising taglines was, gauges that gauge, spoils that spoil, and scoops that scoop. Which is true.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. Well,
them things, they were no joke.
Put them on the leading edge, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're talking about. It's the same page with the picture of the two
Hemis. Right, which is cool. On Sunrise Highway, I notated that to you. We're testing. I think Joel was driving of them.
That was totally accidental. I brought the Hemi convertible to him I think it's a convertible.
I don't know.
Well, whatever. It was a Hemi. I brought it to him to tune for me on a dyno. And he backed it off the dyno and decided to take it out on Sunrise Highway. And just as he pulled out, I was outside my camera. Another Hemi comes along.
Yeah, that's one of the chances.
And the guy looks over, and all Joel cared about was he wanted to see how his tuning was. So he just got on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't tell from this picture, but he just blew the guy off. You see a little smoke coming from the other guy's tires.
Yeah.
Because he must have been in, I don't know, second or third gear or something. But Joel just mopped him up. It was an automatic car.
Right.
But, you know... The funny thing is, people in other parts of the country didn't really think that we would use Sunrise Highway to test cars. No.
What everybody else did, why not him?
And I got to tell you, Marty, you know, I grew up in East Rockaway, and I only live a few towns away from the Motion site. I drive up and down that strip still all the time, and every time I go by, the pictures that are in your book and Joe's books come to my mind, and like, oh, God, that was such a great time.
I didn't know you were from East Rockaway.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. In fact, when we had you on some years ago, I guess it was, I forget what book it was, but there was a picture of the 67 GTO you would drive, and you had it was fully lettered, and you had it in front of the house in East Rockaway, and I commented, like, hey, I only lived, like, less than a mile away from there.
My house, I think, was on Walnut Road off East Rockaway Road.
That's right. Yeah, I was a little further north, but... There's another shot of you that I used in the tweet today that you're driving the Dodge Super B on Main Street into Atlantic Avenue in East Rockaway, and you can see some of the old landmarks that are there.
Oh.
And it's like, he's driving a wing car down Atlantic Avenue. This is...
Well, that, you know, the funny thing was, that was a manufacturer's plate car, and I originally proposed to the publisher that shot be used on the cover.
Yeah.
Just the way it was, because it showed what it was like in 1969.
Yep, absolutely.
That was a brand new car. Dealers didn't even have them yet. It was an M plate on it, and I photographed it in traffic, and we went to Nathan's with it and parked it in front of Nathan's, and just people came at. Actually, a couple of cooks came out of the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
To look at it. They didn't run those pictures, but there's pictures of some guys coming out of the kitchen to look at the car.
Oh, sure.
It attracted a lot of attention. And
yeah, I think.
You know, when I first saw the car in Detroit, I thought the ring was hilarious. It was just stupid.
Mm.
And after a while, I got to kind of enjoy it because it was different.
Yeah.
But there's a picture in there somewhere of, let me see.
It's kind of funny, too, because that's the stuff that Mark does out at Graveyard Cars. He restores these things. And, you know, the high-impact colors, I mean, that was, you know...
Oh, yeah, Plum Crazy.
Chrysler owned that one. I mean, they really did. They had the... And that was a great ploy. Like, have colors out there that just jump out.
It's actually page 152, is it one...
Oh, that's where the picture...
152, 153.
Right. Yeah, that's where the picture of driving to Daytona is, right? It's on 152.
Yeah, that's by Nathan's, you know, a couple of guys looking at it by Nathan's on East Rockaway Road. But the other picture...
Yeah, there you go.
...was me driving it before the car came out, and I was making fun of the wing.
Yeah.
I thought it was really stupid.
Yeah, hang your laundry on it or something, right?
I was going to say, you're hanging out, cruise night, put your beer up there. Yeah. See?
Wow. And because I made all these jokes about it, some Chrysler photographer took my picture getting into the car with my camera box, and the PR guy was in the picture, and they see that. They put these little things up and sent me an 8x10 to hang in my office.
That's great, yeah. That is funny stuff. And again, that was the spirit of fun. Marty, I see we have only about 12 minutes left in the show. Tell people how they can find this and your other works if they want to catch up, because I'm sure that the people are going to want to see this
book.
Well,
all they really have to do is go to Amazon and put any of my books into the search engine for books. Mm-hmm. And usually when one comes up on that same page...
The rest of them pop up as well.
...are other titles that I have. Because now I think the Motion book has been reissued in soft cover.
Yeah.
Because so many people complained the book was out of print and they were selling used copies for $150 a copy.
Yeah.
And so they came out with a soft cover. My Ford Total Performance book... is out there, and this book is out there, all on Amazon. Those are usually the cheapest prices,
right?
And they ship them free.
Yeah.
So it's really, when you look at the prices, they discount them almost 40% off the publisher's price. So it's actually a hell of a deal.
Right. No, it is. Yeah, and I tell you, for the content that's in there, it's worth it at twice
the
price.
Just looking through this book, just flipping through here. Wow.
Oh yeah. You know, when I read these, I just got a copy of a book that Joe had co-written with some authors that I missed. So I got a copy of that one as a release.
And I think Joe's book is out of print.
Yeah.
probably.
Confessions of a Muscle Car Test Driver. And that book, man, if you don't burn through that when you're you can burn through that like you do in a burnout. I mean, that's how fast the reading goes in these books. Because if you live through it in any part and parcel, however...
You find that, you find yourself nodding your head going, oh, cool, yeah, oh, remember
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
You know, what's really interesting, and it's hard for sometimes for people to appreciate, but, you know, a car happens in, say, 1969 or 1970, and then it disappears. And suddenly there becomes this mystery around this particular car, but nobody has seen it,
mm-hmm.
most likely ever. And then suddenly, in 2010, I'm at the Muscle Car Nationals, mm-hmm. and I'm walking around, and I see the only Ram Air 5 GTO.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's sitting on the floor with all the paperwork on it reproduced from Cars Magazine Test Car. I couldn't believe that this was actually the car.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
And, and we have pictures of Milt Shornack from Royal running the car.
Right.
And the engine. And bingo, there's a picture. And the guy who owns the car... Schultz is his name. Bill Schultz, he takes a picture of me next to the car.
Yeah.
That's 7 years ago.
That is great. That is great.
No kidding.
And one other thing, right after that story, is at the end of 1969, when they extended production of the 69 Camaro.
Right.
Joel built a couple of cars, Baldwin Motion cars, that were 454 Camaros, because that was the new engine that was coming in 1970.
Yeah, the 27 was on its way out, and the 54 was coming in. Yep.
I think there were two, maybe three, but I don't think there were three. There were two built with 454s as brand new 1969 cars just before the turn of the calendar.
Right.
Because they built them through December of 1969. They couldn't go into the calendar year. It was illegal. So they went into December, and I'm walking around the show at Muscle Car Show, and there's the car.
Oh, yeah.
One of the two cars, or three cars, it's a yellow Camaro, and it's owned by the legendary motor car collection in Canada. And it's just like Joel built the car.
Wow.
I mean, I saw him build the car. I never got to drive it or ride in it or anything. It was gone. And then, bingo, years and years later, decades later,
yeah,
this damn thing shows up at a show.
Yeah.
And it's real.
It's like a relative looking for money. They pop up at the weirdest times.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It was really, you know, part of the pleasure of doing a book like this is meeting the people and seeing the cars again.
Yeah.
It's like, it makes me feel young.
Sure.
The guys who own them like the idea that I'm with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a very, very cool experience. Seeing people so happy with cars that I either once drove or once owned or once whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's like George Washington slept here.
Yeah. Right. Well, Marty, you did provide a great service with the magazines and the information, the exchange of information to the guy on the street.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's all about. And you know, it's a fantastic legacy to have. It's great. And I'm happy to have you around.
Well, I'm really glad that you guys liked it because, you know... Long Island has a special place in my memory and my heart and everything because I lived there for a number of years, but also I spent so much time at Pacers Automotive, mm-hmm. and at Joel Rosen's shop, Motion.
Right.
Unfortunately, a lot of pictures that I had submitted for the book of George and Charlie at Pacers doing work on my cars, they didn't use them.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, until for the first few years of me being there before Joel Rosen moved and the market changed, you know, we had our name on the Tasmanian Devil, and
mm-hmm.
Charlie and George were incredibly cooperative and helpful with us.
Yeah.
And, you know, Charlie is gone, but George is very much alive.
Yes, he is. We just saw George a couple of 2 months ago.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's great, and his son is driving the car.
Scott.
And, you know, that's great stuff. But they did a lot of work for me on my cars. And unfortunately, the publisher dropped the pictures. But, you know, at least I make sure that, that they're credited for whatever they did in the book.
Right, right. Exactly.
They were good guys, and they were fantastic fabricators, and they certainly built great race cars.
And they're still going. All right. Well, Marty, we're going to have to run. We got to close our show and close our year out here, but we thank you for coming on, spending the time with
that
us.
That was great.
Well, thank you.
I mean, it's always a
pleasure talking with you, and you know where I am, so if you need me, just call.
You got it. We'll be in touch, Marty. Thank you very much.
You got
Happy
deal.
New Year, guys.
Thank you. Happy New Year, Marty. All right. So long. That was the great Marty Shore, who wrote this book, Day One. Check it out on Amazon. I think you should, if you're a car guy and you like cars like we do, you need to have a copy of this.
Yeah, there's some incredible pictures. They go through, I mean, we spent a lot of time with the Chryslers for the most part, but there's a lot of Chevy stuff, a lot of Pontiac stuff.
Buick Golds.
Yeah,
there's a twin-engine Toronado in there.
That was wild, yeah.
You, in an hour, you can't cover everything that's in a book like this. You know, you just can't. You have to get it and read it and go through it yourself.
And it was, and he actually was there for this too. It wasn't like, you know, research is one thing, having the stuff on file is another thing, but actually saying that you sat your butt in the seat of like that, some of these Hemi cars and so forth,
his pictures.
I mean, if that, you know, if that, there's somebody who lived to tell about it, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that's quite the resource right there.
Well, I tell you, Joe, it has been one heck of a year for us with this stuff. This is our last show of the year, obviously, but we're going to...
we're not doing that one at quarter to 12 tonight?
the snoring one where we have the musical accompaniment? I don't know, maybe. But, we'll come back and we're going to try and, again, just step it up and keep the game rolling and maybe make it a little more, if we can make it a little more interesting in 2018, I don't know. We'll do our best.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. You know, and we always want to hear from you, the listeners.
We do.
You know what I mean? You got suggestions for guests or topics you want to cover?
Well, that happens all the time. In fact, the guest that's going to be next week, Ben Bright from Old Soul Speed, we got him from the Thursday Night Plane in Traffic show with Santiago and Lewis Lee. So he's an overflow from there. And then in 2 weeks, we have Bob, I think his name is Bob Cerrito. He owns a mini car museum out here in Bay Bellport.
Right.
Mike from the Autoseum passed him our way. So again, we just share guests, people share stuff with us, and we share it back and pay it forward and roll it around and give people the exposure that that they deserve. You know, because whatever exposure we can give, this outlet is something that not everybody has access to. So make it accessible.
Yeah, the more the merrier. Come on in, you know, just let's hear from you folks. And
next week we'll start the show with our 2017 year in review, because I do keep notes on that stuff. So
the world's most dangerous notebook.
I do. It's not the world's notes. It's not automotive notes. It's Motormouth Radio highs and lows of 2017.
Okay, lows. So. Okay, I heard lows. Okay, more short jokes. Thanks a lot.
Nah. So that we'll pick it up with that, and that's kind of like I said. That's what we do. So
So tonight, you know, if you're venturing out, be safe.
PSA from Joe D. Right.
Yeah. Let's say. Yeah. Observe. You know. Be aware of what's around you, and try not to bend the elbow too much.
Yeah.
At least until you land where you're going to land.
Right.
You know, because let's face. Yeah. This is also known as amateur night.
Absolutely.
You know,
and
so,
it's cold and it could be slippery out there. So let's not.
Don't do anything stupid. We need the listeners.
We can't afford to lose any.
All 3 years. You know what I mean? Let's get out. You know. We need you back for 2018. So
absolutely.
Unless you can clone some more new ones there, you know, we need you guys. So come on.
You got that right. So until then, we're just going to, I'm going to go home, take a nap, because we have my wife and I are going out tonight, so we're going to, local, not far, close by, but we're going to, take it easy and just
I'm going to the UD and get that El Camino started.
Now, it's a matter now of, like, can we make the goal?
Then we can celebrate.
All right. Until then, until next week, for Ray Guarino, Joe D, Motormouth Radio, keep away. You got to listen to Kim and Thunder Road.
Thunder Road.
We'll be back next week.
Happy New Year!
See ya!
Bye.